And I couldn't understand why he took him away. I still remember a year after he passed. And I was driving home, and I stopped at a traffic light on 16th Avenue and Kennedy Road. Going home, going east, and I was still behind the steering wheel. I was crying behind the wheel, sobbing. I felt like I was falling into a depression. And I kept asking God, why? Why did you take my dad away? And there was this gentle voice, so vivid, so loud, but it was still very gentle. The voice came up and said, isn't he better with me than with you? I was shocked. I was shocked to hear that. Because I have to admit that's true. Because during the last few years of my dad's life, he had a huge family feud with his siblings, all 11 of them, yes. 11 siblings my dad had. All 11 of them. He was not a happy man. It was God took him so that he can enjoy peace and love in his embrace. At that very, very moment, I knew that was the voice of God. He consoled me. He grabbed me from my depression and brought me back up so that I understood exactly why it was out of love that he took him. In a similar manner, Daniel asked the same questions. He wanted salt for understanding of this vision. And interesting enough, Gabriel, the archangel, was the one that appointed by God to interpret the visions for Daniel. An angel, it means the messenger of God, and none other than the archangel of Gabriel. And he was telling him and start interpreting what this ram with two horns was about. In verse 20, he said, as for the ram that you saw with the two horns, these are the kings of Media and Persia. In verse 30, chapter 5, going back to it, it tells us that the kingdom of Babylon is about to end. And that's why that God was giving this vision to Daniel. And once again, you remember this chapter 5 when Pastor Daniel shared with us about the king Belshazzar, and he was killed after seeing the writing of the wall, and after he desecrated the golden vessels from the temple. And God took him and caused him to falter. And immediately, soon after, the Median Persian Empire took over and destroyed Babylon. And if we understand that, then we realize that that is true. God uses different people, even people that are non-believers. He would use them to teach his children lessons by taking them out from Judah into Babylon, and then now already has planned for to rescue them so long as they turn back from their unfaithfulness. Here in Ezra, in chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, here it says this, Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heavens, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem. So the vision came true. In chapter 8, God sent Cyrus, the king of Persia, to destroy Babylon. But at the same time, not only did he destroy Babylon, knowing that's the end of the Babylonian kingdom, but then yet again, he sent the message to Cyrus so that he can send his people back to Jerusalem to build a house for him. So God is very faithful, even though that people are not faithful to him. So long as we turn back, and then God has a plan of rescue way ahead of time for the unfaithful. Once they repent themselves, and then they can turn back and rebuild the house of the Lord. And that's what happens as Ezra has testified here. And also that speaks about the character of God. Because God, in James chapter 2, verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. God's mercy is always new every day and great every day for all of us. We just need to trust and be faithful in our walk with him. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 20 and 31, it says that even the number of hairs on each of our head is counted. Now, that's very important to someone who has less hair. And I know that God counts them all. And he knows that I know that he cares for you, and you need to know that he cares for you as well. And the vision continues. It continues into verse 5-7. And it talks about a male goat. This male goat became so powerful it destroyed and trampled on the Persian Empire. And it struck the ram down and broke his two horns completely. So how do you interpret something like that? And Gabriel continued to Gabriel continued to help Daniel to understand. And he said in verse 25, he said, the goat is the king of Greece, and the great horn between the eyes is the first king, which is Alexander the Great. History, if we go back to history, we can tell that. So even when kingdoms were very powerful, as we read from earlier about this ram, yet again, it was destroyed by this goat. And this goat came the first king. But this first king, according to history, did not live long either. He was broken. He was broken and he died at a young age of 32, history tells us. And continues to tell us this, that after he died, there are four horns, conspicuous horns, came up. And it goes around the world, east, left, and then east, west, north, and south. Couldn't figure out the direction for a while. And he destroyed this ramp. And later on from this four, history tells us that these are the four generals that rised up after Alexander the Great had passed. But then there came a little horn. This little horn became very powerful. So powerful that it thought of himself as God himself. He destroyed everything around him. He trampled the Holy Land. And history tells us, and many scholars tell us, that it's attributed to this king, Antiochus IV Epiphanes. He named himself Epiphanes. The reason is because that's the name. The translation is that God manifests. That's what it means. And this king, although he passed later on at young age of in his 20s, because God struck him down. But out of this little horn, he destroyed. He pressed on the Hellenistic culture onto all the kingdoms that within his border. And he desecrated the temple. With the passage we read, he even trampled onto God's people. So that's why he was so vicious. In fact, history tells us that he stopped all the Israelites from worshiping God. He would not allow that to happen. Not only did he do that, he made an offering in the temple of God with a pig to Zeus. That's how bad it was. How much he trampled and disregarded God's people. And later on, he was killed. In Daniel chapter 8, verse 10, there was this great seven hosts of heaven. He even trampled, and I think I just passed on that, and I just talked about that. So coming back to today, what does it mean to all of us after we learn from all of that? I don't want to be political here, but then yet again, when our world is actually shaking around us, when there's so much unfairness, evil is happening around us, and there's so many things that are unjust, do we bend and yield, or do we stand up for justice? Is it our justice or God's justice in us? And I can guarantee you, when the tyrant is in power, which will eventually happen according to the Bible in Revelation, our world will turn dark. Our world will turn dark. And as Christians, we will face many difficulties, even challenge and also persecuted. Sufferings will happen. Sufferings will happen. But the Bible is very clear. Our faith is not a walk in the park. So, brothers and sisters, if you have not realized this before, we are called to suffer. We are called to suffer. But then yet again, I see there are three types of sufferings. The first type is that we make foolish decisions. Sometimes we just, for some reason, our focus is on social media alone. We want to have a channel that we have people who like and click on us. We love watching TikTok. We spend all this time watching. And some of us who are YouTubers or want to make videos for TikTok, we make foolish decisions. About a year ago, I'm not sure how true it is, rumor has it that a young person climbed up on top of the GO train, moving GO train, and he fell, and then he was landed, and then he was in critical conditions afterwards. I don't know how he is today. But then yet again, sometimes we just, because of a like or we want to be popular, we make foolish decisions, and that kind of sufferings is because of our own doing. You can't blame God for that. And the second type of sufferings, I would attribute that to our own demise as well. Because we think we are so good. We always think that we have lots of wisdom. We are educated. We can do a lot of things. And then yet again, at times of trouble, we realize that God allows sufferings for us. Such as sickness. Such as something that we cannot explain. Why have we lost our job, for example? Because it allowed us to ground ourselves. God allowed that to happen so that we will suffer, and then we can now see who God is, that He is our mighty God, He is our Father, and He cares for us. He is our Creator, and now we are merely human, and then we are only His loving creatures. And that gives us a proper perspective, so God allows that suffering to happen. And the third type of sufferings, which I call a high level of sufferings or highest level of suffering, that suffering is because of the gospel. The gospel because we decide to witness for God. Here in John 15, 18, 19, it says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. God has already foretold and tell us that we're going to be suffer, because if we don't love the world, the world is going to hate us. It's obvious, because we don't belong to this world. If we find that the world loves us, then you have to question what we are doing at this very moment, because part of our faith is that we have to emulate Jesus. If you really I have been a Christian for a while, you understand that Jesus suffered for all of us. We are on this road of suffering for Jesus for the gospel's sake. And also in 1 Peter 4, 12 to 14, it says that we rejoice insofar as you shared Christ's suffering. We need to be rejoiced and be happy about when we enduring sufferings, because we are now on the road and sharing God's suffering. And so don't be surprised. Peter has already told us that. So you ask these questions. So what do we do when we are going through suffering? How are we going to maintain this joy? And the answer is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 15. It's to put on this armor of God. This armor of God consists of the belt of truth. What is the truth? The truth is that God loves people. God loves the world in John 3:16. He's willing to die for us by giving us his son, one and only son. That's what the truth is. And we need to arm that and put it around our waist and the breastplate of righteousness. We need to guard our hearts, what we believe in. We need this breastplate so that it will safeguard our hearts, in our thoughts, in our minds. So that's what we need to do, and fill out the God's word into our heart and fit it our feet will fit it with the gospel of peace. And that's what the peace of God is. It's the gospel itself, because knowing where we are heading is the most important thing. Knowing that God is in charge, knowing that God is leading us, it will give us peace as we move forward. And then the scriptures continue to tell us to have this shield of faith. We need to believe, we need to trust God. And it will handle all our enemies attacking us on a daily basis. And we need to put on this helmet of salvation. This is the salvation that God has bestowed on us. Knowing that and trusting that we are the children of God. So we put on this helmet. And with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the two-edged sword. It pierces those people's heart. At the same time, it would also defend us while we are being attacked in the spiritual warfare we are in right now. And most importantly to me, really touched my heart, is verse 18. And pray in the Spirit in all occasions, or all circumstances. Pray, no matter where you are today, especially during these seasons of Lent. We should continue to pray and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people and all the other saints, all the brothers and sisters that we have. We should continue to pray for, not only for each other, but also for our community during these Lent seasons and during this difficult time we are in as well. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. What is the point of dreams and vision? What is the point? I believe the visions and dreams that came to us, that God has given us and given to Daniel in chapter 8, it's because of his mercy and love. Not everything that we can understand and in time, or we want to understand. Because I believe that we cannot handle all the truth. We cannot handle all the devastations, all the corruption is ahead of us. I believe that we cannot handle all the evil that is about to come upon this earth ahead of us. That's why God only tells us something, letting us know that he is the sovereign God. He already has a plan for us ahead. He is our Lord when victories belong to the Lord. He is our Lord of the past, of the present, and also of the future. And we can trust in him. And that's what it is about. Here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 to 3, then the Lord said to me, write my answers plainly on tablets, so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. The vision is for the future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. God has his own timing. It will not be delayed. We just need to trust. We need to stand firm and be faithful in our faith. And I pray that during this Lent season, that we will do the same. So let's pray. In Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very presence help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its water roar and foam, though the mountains trample as it's swelling. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy habitations of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nation rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the work of the Lord, how he has brought desolation on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen.